You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Bengals beat the Steelers 27-17. It was less than a month ago. We were comparing this year's Steelers to the 07 Patriots, wondering, could they go undefeated? Now we're wondering, will they win a playoff game? Pittsburgh's dropped three in a row, including last night's shocking loss to the Bengals. If I just said, look at the stats and tell me who won that game, you'd go, well, Pittsburgh did. Because Bengals didn't do much, but neither did the Steelers. This is a Bengal team the Steelers had beaten 11 consecutive times. You got a veteran coach. You got a Hall of Fame quarterback. It's hard to understand what's gone wrong. We can say COVID. We can say injuries on the defensive side of the ball. We can say there's no running game. You're the Pittsburgh Steelers playing the Bengals. Joe Burrow wasn't playing. It was Ryan Finley. Receivers dropping the ball, no running game. But you know what was more alarming? The Steelers got pushed around physically by Cincinnati. You don't expect that with the Mike Tomlin team. And the Steelers don't get a break in the final 2 weeks. They got the Colts, and I believe they're underdog against the Colts. And then they got the Browns to end the season. So they're going to go against two playoff teams. They got to rediscover some energy here that they had earlier in the season. We talked about this a while ago where I said you can't throw the ball 40 or 50 times. You just can't. And, you know, Ben is not capable of doing that week in and week out. He doesn't look sharp. I know he said, you know, the timing's not great, that he said he wants to come back for another year. But they got to find something here, and they got to find it quickly because they could be headed towards a very, very short postseason. And here we are talking about them. Could they go undefeated? I don't think anybody thought they were great, but I think people thought, well, maybe there's some magic here. But, you know, they lost two really good young defensive players there. And without any running game and the receivers not holding on to the football, Ben needs help to look good. You know, it's like Phillip Rivers with the Colts. You know, you need a team. It takes a village here. And Ben did not look good last night. They just looked like they were mailing it in. They went through the motions. And I kept thinking, don't let a young team that has no business winning this game almost become emboldened. Like you could see the confidence level rising with the Bengals. And all of a sudden, the Steelers are then trying to match them. You know, 17-10, and I go, okay, maybe here they go. And they never had that extra gear. But give credit to the Bengals. They have nothing to play for. And they went out and won that game. Here is Mike Tomlin after last night's loss talking about sort of where is this team confidence-wise.
Mike, what's your sense regarding your team's confidence level? And are you concerned it's getting a little fragile?
Should we better not be confident after a performance like that? I'm not concerned about our confidence. We got work to do.
Yeah, and you got 2 weeks to kind of figure this out before you get to the postseason. But we'll talk to Tony Dungy coming up. Like, what happened? Because the Steelers, you know, they were winning games. They may not have looked impressive. I go back to that game against the Ravens. What was that, like a Wednesday morning game? I forget. You know, this NFL season's been crazy. Might have been Wednesday morning, you know, like a 7:30 kickoff. And I'm watching going, the Ravens have no business being in this game. Steelers were dropping the football. They just kind of went through the motions again. This time of the year, you look for these teams that are peaking, that there's that uptick on them, the teams that are really fighting to get into the postseason. And it felt like the Steelers got to a certain level, and then they leveled off. And you can't let that happen. And they're paying the price right now. All right, McClubbin, what kind of poll question do you have for me?
Okay, off the Steelers' loss, who is the least scary AFC playoff team? If I gave you these choices, the Bills, the Steelers, the Browns, the Ravens, the Colts, or the Titans. I'm not putting the Chiefs in there. Who's the one team you want to face in the first round of the playoffs?
Well, I would say Pittsburgh. I know it's recency bias, but I think it's not just last night recency. It's the last couple of weeks where you look at them and you go, they're kind of paper lions here. They don't strike me as formidable. And you know, they've kind of proven that. Yeah, McLovin.
But if we put that poll up, don't you think the Browns still win that just because of history?
I wouldn't say that because the Browns to me are peaking. Like they're doing what you're supposed to do to close out a regular season. You know, you beat a Giants team that you might say, okay, they're the Giants. You went to the Giants and that's a Giants team that's played well, played hard, and could still win that division. Winning those games is really important. That's why when you go, well, they're playing the Giants. Well, the Steelers were playing the Bengals. So I have to use, you know, the same thought process, same formula to go, well, they're playing the Giants. You're playing the Bengals, and you couldn't beat the Bengals. So what's, you know, if you look at the who's more formidable, well, the Giants are more formidable. And the Browns ended up winning that game. So I would, the Browns are not going to be an easy out. And I might be in the minority here. It comes down to Baker Mayfield. If Baker plays the way he's played, don't try to do too much. You don't get style points in the NFL. You just want points. Run the football, play some good defense, don't make mistakes, and you're going to be a tough out, in my opinion. But if Pittsburgh is one-sided, one-dimensional, I mean, imagine being one-dimensional. Your receivers don't hang on to the football. You've got a quarterback who, he wasn't mobile. He's really immobile now. And you got suspicions about his knee and his arm. Other than that, and your defense isn't going to win games for you the way it once did. Pittsburgh got a lot. They got to look in the mirror and go, who are we now? And or can we reclaim what we once were? Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Through week 12, the Steelers had a one-game lead on Kansas City for the number one seed. They held the tiebreaker over Kansas City. Now, Steelers have dropped to the number three seed behind Kansas City and Buffalo with only a tiny chance of being number one as we bring in the Hall of Famer, Football Night in America analyst Tony Dungy. Tony, what happened to the Steelers as of late?
Well, I thought it could possibly happen 4 or 5 weeks ago. I think they lost their identity a little bit. They're winning games. Not winning them in Steeler style. And I think it's caught up with them. But, you know, Dan, it really is so reminiscent to me of our team in Indianapolis in 2006. We were 9-0, off to a great start. We're winning games close, but finding ways to win. And then we hit a stretch in November and December where we really struggled. And in fact, in December, we lost the game to Jacksonville 44-17. Fell from the number one seed all the way to number three. Everybody said the season was over. 6 weeks later, we're hoisting the Super Bowl trophy. We were able to get it corrected. But these guys, they're going to have to start running the football. They're going to have to get some confidence in their offensive line where they can throw some deep balls. I think people have caught up to this 5 and 6 yard passing game, and they're going to have to do something different on offense. I think it starts with getting that identity. Hey, we're the Steelers. We got to be able to run the ball in December.
Well, that's what stood out more than anything else. The Bengals were more physical than the Steelers were last night. And I never thought that I would see that. I mean, this is a Bengal defense. I mean, we really don't know the Bengals. Steelers got household names, and it didn't matter last night. The Bengals were far more the aggressor.
Bengals could not or would not throw the ball or felt like they didn't have to. They threw for about 80 yards. They're controlling the game, controlling the line of scrimmage, and then defensively the same way. They just, hey, we're going to rush the passer. We're going to sit down and play tight coverage. We don't think you're going to run. We don't think you're going to throw deep. So it's, can you get these balls off before our pressure gets there? And can your guys get open in a 5 or 6 yard space? And it was too difficult.
Okay, but what's Mike Tomlin do? Like, is there something, it's not magical. Like, what do? You got two games left against the Colts and the Browns, and then you go into the playoffs.
Well, you can get it back. Well, I'll tell you what I did in 2006. I said, we aren't making any changes. We aren't bringing in any new people. There's no saviors. What we're going to do is get back to basics. We're going to cut down on our defenses. We're going to cut down on our offensive plays. But we were able to practice back then. You could put pads on, and you could practice tackling. You could practice blocking. I'm not sure they can do that now, and that's part of the problem.
Ben says he's coming back next year. Is that good for the Steelers?
I think it depends on the way this season ends up. If he plays like they played at the beginning of the year, and Ben can be very, very good. At the beginning of the year, they're balanced, and James Conner's running the ball, and they're hitting deep shots to Chase Claypool, and everybody's saying Ben's back. Well, somehow that's been gone. They've lost the confidence that they can run the ball. And for some reason, I think maybe it's because of the pass protection. It was not very good last night off both edges. And maybe he's feeling like, I can't sit in the pocket and wait on these deep balls. So they've just become very limited on offense right now.
But also, if you're looking at this defense, you lose Bud Dupree, you lose Bush. I mean, these are two really, really good players. So you can't win games with just your defense.
You are not the same defense, and I know Mike Tomlin's not going to make excuses. I wouldn't make excuses as a coach, but you take out basically four of your best playmakers at linebacker. You take out Bush, who was a tremendous player, and then his replacement, Spillane, comes in, and we don't even know him, and he plays good ball, and now he's out, and they've got a backup safety man playing there, and he gets hurt last night. Bud Dupree, your second best pass rusher, and you had that double edged effect, and now you don't have it coming off the other side. So they're missing some elements that make the Steelers defense. I can understand their defense. Their offense has to step it up and say, you know what, we are missing those guys. We've got to score more. We've got to control the ball. We've got to run it and control the clock, and that's not what they're doing right now.
He's Tony Dungy, the Hall of Famer, of course, analyst for Football Night America. All right, let's look at all of these teams in the AFC, because the AFC is stacked. Once we get to the playoffs, you know, everybody's got a flaw here. But let me start with Kansas City. I mentioned a stat that they really allow you to stay in games here, and that's going to come back and haunt them. I look at these last wins, Tony, their last six, 2.4, 3, 6, 6, 3. Come playoff time, they may not get that lucky.
Dan, I am worried about the Chiefs. I really am. I think they're bored. I think they're playing with fire. I think they feel like they can do whatever they want to do. You look at that game Sunday, and you're never going to see Drew Brees play as badly as he played. They had the ball for 40 minutes. They outgained them by 200 yards. New Orleans has a ton of penalties that keep things going. Just their best pass rusher gets kicked out of the game. All these things, and then it's a three-point game at the end, and they've got to make a play to win the game. Le'Veon Bell's got to make a run to run the clock out. That game should have been a three-score game, and we've seen it over and over and over again, and they always, on that last drive when they need it, they turn it on, they make a play. But in the playoffs, one-game knockout, all of a sudden that ball gets tipped on third down or, you know, something happens. I just think they're playing with fire.
And then you start to look at these other teams. The team that would have the best chance to knock off Kansas City, because you're going to have to go to Kansas City to knock them off. So who would have the best chance, in your opinion, in the AFC?
Well, forget about defense, because the Saints played the best you can play. They harassed Mahomes, and they got 32 points. So if you're going to knock them off, you have to score points. So who can go in there, play a semblance of defense, rush the passer with four guys, but move the ball and score points? Tennessee can move the ball and score points, and that ground game could be effective. I don't know if they have the defensive personnel to really hold them down. Maybe Buffalo has the best chance that you know, they're scoring. And Josh Allen's playing great. Maybe they can match them with big plays and just get enough of a pass rush to do it. But Kansas City went into Buffalo and dominated that game running the football early in the year. So I'm not sure. Will Kansas City play up to their standard? If they play up to their standard for two games, I don't think anyone can beat them.
Yeah, I was wondering about the Titans, you know, because you got Derrick Henry. And, you know, can he keep his defense off the field long enough so they're fresh every time they go on there against Patrick Mahomes? I like the Colts. I think the Colts are a really balanced team. I just don't know about Phillip Rivers in a big moment, Tony.
Well, the Colts would have a chance, too, because they can move the ball. They've got a good offensive line. They could protect Rivers enough. They can hit some deep shots. Kansas City's going to give you a chance on some deep balls because they're going to play bump and run. They're going to blitz you. T.Y. Hilton, Pascal, those guys have a chance to make some big plays. They can rush the passer. If Justin Houston and DeForest Buckner could pressure without blitzing, now you make a couple of plays. You could hang in there in a high-scoring game. They would have an opportunity, I think.
Let's look at the NFC. Feels like everybody's flawed here. Green Bay might looks like they're going to have home field advantage here, but a run defense concerns me here, Tone. I don't
that
know.
That run defense is going to get tested this week.
Yes, it is. They're going to get a good idea of how good they are against Derrick Henry.
Will really be interesting because it's strength against weakness. The Titans do not really have a great secondary. They don't rush the passer well. That is, you know, terminal against Aaron Rodgers. But their Achilles heel, Green Bay, is run defense. And Derrick Henry is going to pound it up inside and keep those pass rushes at bay. I think we could see a real entertaining, high-scoring game. But Green Bay, in that weather, they get the cold weather. What team can go up there really? Tampa Bay, are they going to go up there and light it up in cold weather? I doubt it.
But even like Seattle, I could see them with Russell Wilson and, you know, traveling and pulling off an upset there. I don't know about the Rams. I am, you know, every time I think I understand the Rams, you know, they surprise me here.
I was touting them as the best team in football 3 weeks ago. I thought their defense was coming around. They can pressure the passer. They played physical. And then that run game just kept really Jared Goff in good situations where he was throwing outside the pocket to open receivers. But when you take that run away and you make them really push the ball down the field, they struggle. And then, you know, the Jets game just did not look good on any front. So if you're capable of playing a game like that, when you're fighting for home field advantage, that was disappointing.
How many stockings do you have behind you, Tone?
That is that should be 12. Two for Lauren and I and all the kids. Yeah.
You didn't even know.
I had to recount.
You have 12 stockings back there. So you and your wife and then
12 days of Christmas. Yeah, and 10 kids.
Oh, my gosh. Do you ever forget anybody's name?
I do. I was thinking about that as I went. Dad asked me everybody, can I get them all? And I could get them all. Don't know if I could get them in order, but I could get them all.
Kevin Green passing away at the age of 58. You know, that seems like the last generation of those that just played football and they weren't worried about their health. I don't know, you know, what Kevin died of, but at age 58, and he was one of the great pass rushers, there was almost a WWE feel. He was a wrestler out there. He embraced it. The hair, he didn't mind being a bad guy. He was entertaining. What comes to mind when I say Kevin Green?
Oh, just a warrior, and that one really hurts, Dan. We all went in the 2016 class, and when you go in as a Hall of Fame class, you become close. You're like brothers, and you stay in touch with each other, and to have one of our classmates pass away, it really hit hard. Yeah.
Good to talk to you, and Merry Christmas. Hopefully it's great. How young is your youngest?
5.
Oh, okay. Gosh.
So we're still opening Christmas presents and going through that. Yeah. Our oldest daughter's 35 now. So we've got a nice 30-year spread.
My God. Unbelievable. There's a special place in heaven for you, Tone. I would say.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Keep the seat warm for me, but I don't know if I'll join you. But, you know.
Well, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about how to get you up there.
Thank you.
I love the outfits. I love the set. Tell those guys they did a great job with the set.
Thank you, buddy. Merry Christmas. Thank you again.
All right. Thanks, DP. Great to talk to you.
Tony Dungy, Hall of Famer. Hall of Fame dad as well.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I was watching the Eagles game against the Cardinals, and I was enjoying the commentary by Aqib Talib, the Fox Sports analyst, 5-time Pro Bowler, won a Super Bowl with the Broncos, and now working for Fox. And Aqib Talib joining us on the program. How would you rate your performance so far, Aqib?
I don't have to rate it, man. I just go out and try to have a little fun, so. You know, I got pretty good feedback. I rated off the feedback. So, you know, I got pretty good feedback from the guys over at Fox. So, I guess it was decent.
But also, it's really important to get people who are going to be honest with you. Because a lot of people just say, hey, man, sounded good. And if they say that, then say, well, what did you like? Like, you got to, if you really want to know, if you approach this the way you did as a defensive back, hey, I want to be great. How do I be great? You have to approach it the same way. And hopefully you got some people who won't just go, yeah, that was good, man. I enjoyed it. Ask them. Or was there anything that you didn't like? Because if you do ask those questions, you might get some answers that can really help you.
Right. That's and I do that, Rich. I'm sorry. I do that. I got some people on my team who brutally honest. So I think from week one, from the first game to the second game, I think I improved, and I think it had a lot to do with the criticism that I received from people who I asked.
But also, you're looking at this from a defensive perspective, or at least I get that feeling. A lot of analysts are offensive, you know, players, former quarterbacks. Are you purposely looking at it from a different perspective because you played defensive back?
Well, I think I look at it. I just watch the game and talk about it as I see it. So naturally, I see it as a defensive person, a defensive perspective. So I think I call the game that way. So I think that just comes naturally.
And then you start to break things down. Like, it's weird to watch a game that way. Are you watching off the monitor, or are you watching the actual game itself?
Well, I watch the actual game itself. So I watch, I just watch and see what coverage they in. Once the play starts, I see what coverage they in. My eyes kind of move to the quarterback, and I see where he throw the ball at, and I know kind of what he's throwing the ball into. You know, because I know what coverage they're in. So I always start with the defense, see what they plan first, and then my eyes move to the offense. But I'm watching the game off the field itself.
And I love that you just tell it as it is. I feel like I'm watching a game with a former player, but not a former player who went to broadcast school. You're just saying, hey, this is what I see, and this is what I'm saying. And it's refreshing. And I hope you're able to still be yourself, because a lot of times the executives come in, or producers or directors, and then they want to change you a little bit. I like that it's not polished, but I didn't expect it to be, because you're starting out and trying to figure all of this out. But it feels honest, Akib. That's probably the best compliment I can give you. It feels honest in what you're telling me when you're breaking things down. Are you worried about being too honest in that position?
I'm not. I'm just, I go off the audition. During the pandemic, I had an audition, and we kind of did it over the Zoom call. We called a game. Me and Kevin Burkhart called a game over Zoom. And I just, however I called the game on there, it was good enough for me to sign a three-game deal with Fox.
Oh, good.
So, you know, if it was good enough to do that, then it was good enough to give me a second game, you know, so I only know one way to do it. You know what I'm saying, Dan? I don't know how to not be myself. And the executive haven't came in and told me to not be myself and not be honest yet. So I only know one way to do it. So that's the way I'm doing it.
Who's picking out the game day outfits there for you?
Oh, I am. I'm doing all the wardrobe. I've always been a dresser of myself, you know. But I have a suit lady. I have a suit lady at the company Elevate. And she always does a great job. I kind of give her the feel what I'm kind of going for, and she always do a great job bringing it to life.
Who would you rather face, Kyler Murray or Jalen Hurts?
Oh, that's a tough question. They both so similar. They bring a lot of stuff to the table. As far as, man, when that pass play break down, they can turn the running backs, and they both throwing the ball super good right now as well. Man, that's a tough question, man. You're going to have your hands full with either one, Dan.
Yeah, but you got to pick, though, Akib. Come on. You're an analyst now.
I'd rather play Jalen Hurts, Kyler Murray. He just got another year of experience under his belt. I think he's a little further along in his progression right now. So as of right now, today,
yeah,
I take Jalen Hurts. Play against Jalen Hurts.
What was the scouting report on Roethlisberger when you played?
That he'll hold the ball, create that extra second. He was in that category with those quarterbacks, the ones that you got to, instead of 2.5 seconds, we got to guard our receiver for 3.5 seconds, because Big Ben, he'll shake a guy off. And He'd create the extra second. What else we had on Big Ben? He had a great deep ball. If a guy covered, he'd still try it with a great deep ball. And that was as far as Big Ben, not Pittsburgh. As far as Big Ben, that was probably the main two things that I had in my notebook.
Yeah. And then you played against and with Brady.
Definitely.
What is that book still accurate of if you were facing Tom now as opposed to, you know, 5-7 years ago?
It's different. It's different. It's changing. A different offense, man. It was a lot of quick game, a lot of over the middle, inside the numbers, seams. It was a lot of those kind of passes. Now it's the field is definitely stretching with that Bruce Arians offense. So it's you have some adjustments. It's some still vintage Tom Brady still in that offense, but it's definitely a lot more passes downfield for Tom.
Didn't you say back in March, I think, that Brady was leaving the Patriots? Is that right?
I might have. I mean, I'm saying, this what y'all do. Y'all supposed to be able to bring the recording up. But I had the feeling it was over. I remember me saying, I think the marriage is over, man. It's burnt out. I remember saying it's burnt out, I think. And I remember predicting that Tom was going to move on.
Yeah. And it's a weird thing, though, that just to see him, you know, in Tampa. Did you get yelled at by Belichick?
I did. I think just about everybody got yelled at by Belichick. So, yeah, practice, definitely in practice. A few times in the game. Yeah, Bill, you know, he's not going to bite his tongue, so. If you in the mix, if you in the game, in the mix, you're probably going to get yelled at from him, you know what I'm saying, sooner or later.
He's Aqib Talib, the Fox NFL analyst, 5-time Pro Bowler, won the Super Bowl with the Broncos, Super Bowl 50. This Friday, the Vikings take on the Saints. Special Christmas Day matchup coverage begins at 3:30 Eastern on Fox, NFL Network, and streaming on Prime Video. Do you have any beef left over with somebody that, you know, that's not going away, even though you're not playing anymore? Are you mad at anybody?
Nah, I never really played mad at nobody. I mean, somebody do something disrespectful in the game, I usually handle it, but, you know, I kind of leave it where it's at. I have no beef with nobody in the NFL right now, man. A lot more friends than enemies in the NFL.
Who's the wide receiver that you lined up and you knew this is going to be a long day?
Calvin Johnson.
Yeah.
I followed him around, I think, two times in my career. And I think I played against him maybe 4 times in my career. And every time, man, I watching it on tape, I'm like, this guy is the best. Then when we got to the game, it definitely translated, and he was definitely the best in the game.
Who's the quarterback you loved to face?
Quarterback who I loved to face. Oh, let me go back. Take you, Jason Campbell. I'm gonna go back a little bit, man. I enjoyed playing against Jason Campbell. Felt like he was on my team some of the time. I definitely love. He threw me 3 interceptions one game. Oh man, I seen him in the lobby. I seen him in the lobby at a hotel one time in Miami Super Bowl time. Told him he was my favorite quarterback. Definitely Jason Campbell.
Oh, that is so good. Wow. Did he think that it was a compliment, or did he know?
I don't know. It was Super Bowl time, so, you know, it was a young league, Super Bowl time, man. Had a couple guys with me. My brother was with me, man. He was hanging out, taking into the room. So
that is rough.
I think coming from me, he probably knew what I was talking about.
Well, I think he would remember he threw 3 picks. And so definitely. If you walk up to him and he's like, you're my favorite quarterback, man.
Yeah, he knew exactly what I meant.
Hey, well, good luck with, the rest of the year. Hopefully you got some more games in there. And we appreciate your time, Aqib.
Appreciate you. Thank you. I'll take care.
All right, that's Aqib Talib. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. I always love listening to Nick Wright, First Things First on Fox Sports 1. And I agree with a lot of things that he says. And then Fritzy goes, Nick Wright's got a problem with you. I go, Okay. So what's the problem, Nick? I hear you don't like the picture we use when we're promoting the fact that you're going to be on our show.
Well, listen, I mean, I've been on TV a few years. I've been a semi-public person for the better part of a decade. You have a lot of pictures to choose from, yet you choose one where I have a shaved head and a double chin. And I feel like this is intentional. I mean, you have a army of team around you, mountain of resources. There's a lot of images, some flattering, some not, and some the one you chose. So, yeah, I do have a bit of a problem with that.
Okay.
Somewhat.
So you think that I went out of my way to make you look bad?
Yeah, I think I'm not going to name names here, but there is an all-time Pantheon great sports radio host who I believe once upon a time back in the day used to intentionally choose bad fill-in hosts. So when he came back, people were like, oh my God, you're the greatest. I think Dan Patrick chooses ill-fitting pictures for his guests. So it's like, man, even in his older years, that Dan Patrick, that's a good-looking guy.
Nick, you chose boldness. I didn't. You chose it.
I shaved
it.
My head to add an edginess to me, and it rose me to the heights I have since. And then I grew my hair out. That's what happened.
I was afraid of bold Nick. I'm not afraid of this Nick.
Yeah, I know. I'm soft.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah, you are soft. I got on a rant here. I was wondering, and let's say when Durant is done, Steph Curry's done, like, are they top 10 players of all time? Oh. And if so, who are we taking out? Because we can't have 15 guys in a top 10.
That is, Dan, what a wonderful question. Because I just completed, I haven't yet released it, a project I'm working on for a year, the 50 best players of the last 50 years.
Okay.
So Kareem to now.
Okay.
So Wilt, Russell, Elgin, Oscar, Jerry, Mike, and those guys are not being included. And on that list, Durant is 12, Steph is 13. So ahead of them, Dr. J, Moses, Shaq, I'm going kind of in reverse order, 12 to 1. Shaq, Akeem, Bird, Kobe, Duncan, Magic, Kareem, Michael, LeBron. There might have been one name I left, so I'm doing it off the top of my head. But Durant's 12, Steph is 13, according to that. No, I don't. And if you include Wilt and Russell and Jerry West and Oscar, you got to move each of those guys down another four spots. So, no, I don't think it's likely for either of those guys to become top 10 of all time. And if we're just doing the modern era, I think they could. But, like, you got to move past Dr. J and Moses Malone. And then you got to move past Shaq or Akeem just to get to the top 10, at least in my eyes. I think Dr. J is totally underrated, but that's neither here nor there.
I saw him play against the Kentucky Colonels and ABA.
That's why he's underrated.
Oh my gosh. Like I whenever he would play against the Nuggets, I always felt bad for Bobby Jones. Bobby Jones was supposed to be this defensive star. And Dr. J left his great game on the playgrounds and in the ABA. And then what we got in Philadelphia, you got to see glimpses when they lost to the Blazers in the NBA Finals, and Doc was so unbelievable in the NBA Finals. But I'm with you. I don't know why he doesn't get recognized as one of the top 10, 15 players of all time.
Because he was in the ABA, and it is off the top of my head. I think he won 3 ABA MVPs. I think he won they didn't have an ABA Finals MVP award. They had a playoff MVP award. He won 2 or 3 of those. He won championships there. And when he got to Philly, he did take them to 4 NBA Finals, at least 3 NBA Finals. They couldn't get over the hump, but they were up against awesome teams. And then once Moses joins him, that might be the greatest team ever. 83 Sixers, 86 Celtics, 01 Lakers, 2017 Warriors are, like, you know, all in the argument. And probably I'm probably leaving out one of the Showtime Lakers. So, yeah, but it's because his career is split. ABA, the NFL comp I would give, not that this is a top 10 guy, 12 guy of all time, Warren Moon is historically underrated. because we just were like, he played in the CFL and was great there. It's like, no, he was the best player in the league by a mile when he was there. That's what Dr. J was.
Yeah, Dr. J, it's almost like he got to the NBA. It's like Kareem in the 70s, Kareem in the 80s. It was a different player, and you don't realize how dominating Kareem was when he first got to Milwaukee. A couple of things here. Better chance to reach the NBA final. I'm going to bounce around here.
Yeah, please.
Better chance to reach the finals, the Nets or the Sixers?
Sixers. Here's the thing with the Nets. The Nets are going to have the number one offense in basketball. I'd be shocked if they even have the number two offense. Their offense is going to be so dynamic, and Joe Harris is going to become a household name because he's going to hit a million open threes. They are going to have a bottom five, not 10, not 15, a bottom five defense, and I don't know how you solve it. I just don't know. And you can't win multiple playoff rounds with that type of defense. There's no historical precedent for it. The Sixers, on the other hand, I think are going to be good right off the bat, but their plan B is acquire James Harden. So it's like they're either going to be really good, or if they're not, you just go acquire James Harden because there's not going to be a package for him better than Ben Simmons. So and Embiid, if you look at Embiid's statistical profile and remove last year, he looks like he's going to be a 30 and 15 guy. 2 years ago, Embiid was 28, 14, 2.5 blocks, went to game 7, you know, against Kawhi and the Raptors. They lose on a bucket. He could have made the finals a couple of years ago. Last year was a down year for him. Luka is who I would bet on and who I did bet on. The NBA won't give me a vote for awards, which is really criminal. There should be an investigation. But since I don't have one, I can gamble on it. So I bet a lot of money on Luka. But if Luka doesn't win it, my pick would be Durant, and then Embiid would be the top three.
Yeah, I might go Durant as well. And I don't know if there's Greek freak fatigue.
He can't win it.
No way. Right? Well, I'm guessing he probably can't because, okay, let's say he averages what he averaged or improves a little bit and their best record in basketball. We've seen all of these things, and it feels like the voters want something new.
And like, in the last 50 years, the only guy to win three in a row was Bird, and Bird was doing it in the midst of winning titles.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, he's just the best player in the league on the best team. I think that one of the reasons I like Luka is I think Giannis could average 34, 17, and 6 and won't win it. Harden, no chance at winning it. He's in it every year, but I feel like nobody's going to reward how that's gone, right?
Yeah.
LeBron is going to play fewer games this year than maybe he has at any point in his career. Anthony Davis, it's hard for me to believe voters at the end of the year are going to be like, you know what? The most valuable player in the league is a guy I know isn't the most valuable player on his own team. So that hurts Anthony Davis. For Steph, the Warriors are going to be fighting to make it to the playoffs. So now who are we talking about? You know what I mean? You're like running out of people. I think KD is a really good option, but I think Luka is going to average 30, 10, and 9. And if that team's a top four seed, that'll win the MVP.
I like to watch bad teams, Nick, but I have to invest in a bad player on a bad team. Or a good player on a bad team, I should say. Okay. So LaMelo Ball has come to my rescue. I'm all in on LaMelo Ball. I'm all in. I think he makes them, the Hornets, not must-see TV, but must stop to watch a little bit of them, which would be a new phrase here. But I don't know where you stand on LaMelo Ball, but I'm all in.
Well, you know, you haven't asked me about gambling, so I'll bring it up a second time. Not that I have an issue. I bet a lot of money because I think people are going to consume the Hornets just like that. LaMelo's going to have nights where he's 3 for 17. Guess what? No one's going to know. But he's going to have nights where he shows up all over SportsCenter. Yep. And, well, SportsCenter, that's a thing people used to watch. First things first on FS1 is where they now get sports information highlights. He's going to be top of mind. The Warriors want to win, so I don't think Weissman is going to get, you know, necessarily all the minutes, all the touches. And then I know Obi Toppin is like a popular pick with the Knicks. I don't know. I think LaMelo is going to have good numbers and good highlights, and it's not an overwhelmingly strong rookie class. I know that's unfair to say they haven't played a game yet, but in my eyes, it's not. I think LaMelo's a good pick. I think LaMelo also is going to be better than his brother.
I do too.
Yeah. He's going to be.
No, I do too. I mean, I think he's a legitimate matchup problem. He can get to the hoop, right hand, left hand. His shot, while it's too low for me, at least you have to at least acknowledge it on defense. But I like him. Now, the reason why I was going to have you on, believe it or not, was you said something about the Kansas City Chiefs, where you talked about them. This might be the best road performance that we've seen. Now, I'm paraphrasing here.
Yeah.
Because I'm usually combing my hair and putting makeup on while I'm, you know, listening to First Things First, because I like to see Jenna Wolf on there. The Chiefs are having historically one of the greatest road seasons of all time. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, so they're 8-0 on the road. Eight teams have ever done that. And what they've done on the road is beat preseason Super Bowl co-favorite Baltimore at the beginning of the year before Baltimore had shown some weaknesses, went to Miami, scored 30 consecutive points when Miami was playing at its best, went to Tampa when Tampa was playing its best, beat them, went to New Orleans, and I understand Breeze was obviously not himself, but controlled that game and take away what the Saints offense did. The Saints defense had been number one in football for 6 weeks, hung 32 on them, went to Oakland when Oakland was 6-2 or 6-3 and avenged that loss, their one loss of the year, and went to Buffalo and beat them. And their other two road games are the divisional games, Chargers game very early in the year and annihilating Denver. I mean, you've got six road victories over playoff caliber teams and three over the five Super Bowl co-favorites, essentially, or the five of the six. So, yeah, I feel like it's hard to show me a season where someone had a better road performance.
These numbers concern me, though, Nick. And Tony Dungy was on First Hour, and he said, I think the Chiefs are bored. They won by 2, 4, 3, 6, 6, 3 in their last six games. They won the games. They allow teams to hang around. And that's what's interesting come playoff time for me.
So allow me, I'm going to glance down because I have this saved on my phone. The final margins are not overly impressive. What is impressive is they're never in jeopardy. So by that I mean the last time the Saints had the ball with a chance to take the lead midway through the third quarter. For the Dolphins, it was in the second quarter. For the Bucs, it was in the first quarter. For the Bills, it was in the third quarter. For the Ravens, it was in the second quarter. So they certainly take their foot off the gas, get bored a lot, but there hasn't been a moment in the last 2 months where it's like, man, if the Chiefs, they have to get this stop or they lose. The only game that came close to that was Carolina when Joey Sly was kicking a 67-yard field goal to try to beat them. Like, that wasn't a real thing. And I do think, Dan, the Saints game, listen, it shouldn't have been as close as it was. And the Chiefs are just addicted to letting teams backdoor cover. I mean, they've won six in a row and didn't cover any of the games. That never happens. But the Saints scored that touchdown with 2:06 left and two timeouts. Against every team in all of NFL history, you kick off and try to stop them. I do wonder if against the Chiefs you have to consider onside kick there. If it's like, if we give it to Mahomes and he needs a first down, he's going to get it. Like, he's just going to get it. So I think this is team is not going to lose until next season sometime.
He's Nick Wright, Fox Sports 1, and you've angered the bald community because you can grow hair. You wanted an edge and you shaved your head. And now you're kind of thumbing your nose at the bald Nick Wright. Here's poor Todd Fritz. Todd wants to look like Mark Ruffalo, and take the hat off, Todd. Like, Nick should understand that, like,
there, Dan, somewhere in America, there is a bald man who loves the Los Angeles Clippers and lives in Buffalo, New York, and roots for the Bills. And if I ever show up missing, he's the number one subject. There's someone who all of my sports commentary and my follicle greatness, if we will, it represents everything he hates in the world. I don't think that's Todd Fritz, but No, I understand.
Fritzy's from Brooklyn, and he roots for the Broncos.
Ooh, I'm sorry.
Broncos and Astros.
Yeah.
Astros, fine. It's tough to win when you don't cheat, but it's fine. Broncos.
Next time you're on.
Yeah.
We're going to show this right here. This look okay. Right there.
That's great. I hope you're wearing the same sweater.
You know what? Maybe you got a baby picture. Maybe you send in one, you know, that your wife has one that you, you know, like little baby hot takes. We'll just say Nick Wright's joining us for baby hot takes.
Baby?
Little okay. Baby hot takes.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Nick. You Bye. Too. Thank you, bud. Thank you, Nick. That's Nick Wright, Fox Sports One. It's First Things First.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.